He's going to talk to us about enhancement of heavy metal immobilization in a lead smelting polluted soil with soluble phosphate and calcium.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I will try to make this presentation shorter. I'm from China, and at present I'm a visiting scholar in Dr. Kirk's group in Cincinnati, Ohio. And for the immobilization of lead in soil with phosphorus, it has been a hot topic for many years, since perhaps 1974. So many papers have been published and many research have been conducted. But still, I think we are not very clear about the mechanism, how such immobilization happens in soil. So I will say something about this topic and tell some result of our research. First, I will make a brief introduction of lead smelting in China, especially in the province where I'm from, Henan province in central North China. At present, the total year annual lead production in this world is about 10 million metric tons, and in Henan province, we produce about 1.5 million tons. That's about 1/6 of the total amount of this world. So Henan is also the biggest lead producing province in China. This map shows where Henan is. It's about the capital of Henan, it's Zhengzhou, where it's a place where I work, and it's about 400 miles to the south of Beijing. This is a map of our Henan province, and the red dot stands for mines of lead, and the star stands for the lead smelting plant. We can find that the most of the lead smelting plants lies in the northwest part of Henan province. And spread in these three cities, from north to south is Anyang, Jiyuan, and Sanmenxia. And we can see the amount of the lead production of these provinces. And we can see totally Henan province can produce these main lead smelting plants. They can produce about 1.1 million. Metric tons of lead every year, and the names in green are the biggest lead smelting plants in this province, and they have a higher lead recovery rate. It's about 93%. So the rest 7% will go to the solid or liquid or particle waste, and I'm not sure how much will go to the particles in the air. And the air, I think, is the most serious way to contaminate the environment, because it can move a very long distance in the air, and so it can contaminate a very big area. And these results are the blood lead levels of local children. We have found that many children have very high, some children have very high lead, blood lead level. The highest is about 820 microgram per liter. And the safe limit is 100 microgram per liter in China, and according to the standard of China. And also, another problem in China is that many of the lead cement plants lie very close to the residential communities. You can find the scale of this map is 1,000 meters for this distance, and we can find that many villages lie very close to this lead cement plant. It produces about 0.2 million metric tons of lead every year. And this is a report of a local newspaper. I have put it in English. It tells the lead blood level and cadmium in the blood of several children in this village. And this is also where my wife spent her childhood in this village, Bei Tian, the name is in red. And these lead cement plants produce a big amount of lead every year, and they also contribute a lot to the local tax. The second part is about the effect of calcium on the immobilization of lead with phosphate in soil. And for the immobilization of lead in soil with insoluble phosphate, we often regard it as two main mechanisms. One is dissolution and precipitation. That means that the insoluble phosphate will dissolute first, then will give out phosphate ions. Then the phosphate ions will react with the lead ions to form the insoluble lead phosphate compounds. The second is the adsorption substitution mechanism. That means the lead ions will be absorbed on the surface of phosphate compound, then there will be a substitution between lead ions and calcium ions, then the lead phosphate will be formed. So I think for the mechanism of lead immobilization with phosphate, we have did a lot of work on the immobilization with insoluble phosphate, but for the mechanism of immobilization with soluble phosphate, I don't think we have did much about the mechanism. We did a lot of work on the effect and how of the extent of the compounds of such a reaction. But for the mechanism, I don't think we know much about it. So. This is our work. We have found that for the soil, for this soil is sparked with lead, and then we added phosphate into it. We have found that the phosphate amendment improved the growth of the plants very much, and the figure shows the concentration of calcium and lead in soil. So we can find that often, perhaps in most of the soils, the concentration of calcium is much higher than lead. If we express this result in a molar base, we can find that perhaps the concentration of calcium will be much even higher than lead. So perhaps I think there will be a competition between calcium and lead for the phosphate. So we make some experiment to investigate whether it happens or not. And we can also find that the KSP of calcium phosphate and lead phosphate is very similar, and some even are of calcium phosphate even higher than of lead phosphate. The first experiment that we did is to investigate the effect of calcium on the immobilization of lead with phosphate, and we have several treatments. In this table, the F means the first, such as P2F means we first add phosphate into this soil. After 3 days, we add calcium into the soil. If there is no F, such as treatment 6, there is only a short time interval between the element of phosphate and calcium. First, we add the phosphate into the soil, then mix the soil with the phosphate, then we add calcium into it. The calcium is nitrate, calcium nitrate. Then we find that the growth of ragged grass is enhanced by the calcium amendment very much. This is the explanation of the treatments. And also, we can find that the availability of lead is changed by the amendment of calcium. For the last treatment, then is there is a short time interval between the amendments of calcium and the phosphate. Its TTT lead concentration is significantly lower than the third treatment, which The second treatment. The second treatment is only with phosphate. There is no calcium, and there is the treatment compared with the second treatment, the lead availability or sixth treatment is significantly lower than this treatment. So this means that the calcium helped the immobilization of lead with phosphate. This is the result of autumn phosphorus. There is also a difference, but it's not very big. And also the soil lead species is treated by the lead calcium amendment. The second experiment, the soil is also spiked with lead. Then with amendment, the soil with different amount of calcium, and we can find that there is also difference. In the first finger, as the amount of calcium increased, the availability of lead is also increased. Let's see the next finger. This finger shows the availability of lead. So for the last three columns, as the calcium amount increased, the DTP lead concentration decreased significantly. So this is also in agreement with the first experiment, and we also did the exact experiment to investigate the species of lead. We can find that the calcium amount significantly increased the percentage of chlorpyrifos in soil. This chlorpyrifos is often regarded as the final product of the reaction between lead and phosphate. So this is very important. And this is a very important result. And so the third experiment is conducted with lead smelting contaminated soil connected near a lead smelting plant in China. And we also amended the soil with potassium phosphate and calcium phosphate, also with calcium nitrate. This also makes a difference. This is where the sample is collected, and the green column shows the difference between different treatments of the lead availability. And we can see there is a 28.6 ppm of lead availability between these two treatments. It's the number is not big, but the difference is statistically significant. So both in lead spiked soil and lead smelting contaminated soil, the calcium also both works for the lead immobilization. This is the calcium availability. We can find that after soil is spiked with the potassium phosphate, the availability of calcium decreased a lot. So lead also reacted with the calcium. So perhaps this is the way how lead immobilization happens in soil when we amended the soil with soluble phosphate. The first way is soluble phosphate reacted with lead. The second way is phosphorus ions reacted with other ions, especially lead, and they form a calcium phosphate, and then perhaps there will be a substitution of our calcium in these compounds with lead, then lead phosphate come into being. So perhaps next problem is, if this happens this way, so what's the proportion of these two different mechanisms? Also, after the lead contaminated soil is spiked, is amended with the phosphate, there the lead concentration of lead availability is still very high in these soils, and the proportion of permafrost is also low, such as in the experiment by Hashimoto is only about 30% of lead is in the form of permafrost. And okay, this is acknowledgement. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Li Ping. If we have any questions. Yes.
You talked about the BPA extractable lead. Did you do any in vitro bioaccessible measurements? Because that's what we think is better correlated with children.
Yeah, I agree with you, but we did not do such an experiment. And yes, I think TTP reflects the availability of especially trace elements to plant. And for the mechanism investigation, we should do some more extractions with perhaps with neutral salt, such as calcium nitrate or perhaps calcium chloride, but it's still, I think there's a problem that if we extract with calcium nitrate or calcium chloride, there will be a reaction because both calcium and chloride will be involved in the reaction with the formation of chloropermaffite. So I think perhaps, how about ammonium nitrate? Maybe better.
I brought up the issue of the in vitro bioaccessible, which is pH 1.5 to pH 2.5 in 4.4 molar
glycine. Yeah, yeah. And I think it's perhaps I think this is perhaps for the extraction of lead after the lead contaminated soil is ammonia with phosphate. If we extract the lead with a very acid extraction, perhaps it will, I don't know whether it will reverse the reaction or not.
But that's children's stomach.
Yes. And recently, experiment by my students, others by myself, Shu student, as after the lead can spike the contaminated soil is ammonia with phosphate. Then with extract with pH 2 glycine extractant, the lead or the phosphate amendment did not help the immobilization of lead in this soil. So I think it's very, at least it's very interesting. I don't know.
I think we're going to save the rest of the discussion for outside. So, thank you very much.
Thank you.
I think Scott has a thing.